Okay, did Scott ever show up, or is he? All right, he's out cutting the grass. What do you expect? All right, let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is the anniversary of the church, and our theme for the new year is what's on the board, reaching out. It's our desire to reach out into the communities and be able to help people know who Christ is. And we want to be challenged out of the Word of God today as we read the Apostle Paul's challenge to the believers at the church in Corinth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 9, Paul says that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters, for his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. It doesn't sound like they liked him too much, amen? But it says, let such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, so will we be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in the preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be in church today, and we're thankful for this precious baby dedication. Lord, we're thankful for faithful laborers in the church. Lord, we're thankful for the grace of God that is upon us, and we're just thankful to be able to be here to celebrate 37 years of ministry in Toms River. God, we praise you. We don't acknowledge man, and we don't acknowledge the boastings of man. We have acknowledged the grace of God. And Lord, we've come to praise you. We thank you for special music this morning that the choir sang, and for the sake of the gospel and the mercy tree. Oh God, thank you for these things. And Lord, I pray this morning that if there's someone that's here that might not be saved, I pray that they might really respond to the invitation to believe on Christ. They might be saved and born again to be able to leave here knowing they're going to heaven. But help each of us as believers this morning that are saved, rejoice in the grace of God, and help us to be challenged, Lord, to exercise the measure of grace that has been given to us. And so, Lord, bless the preaching of the Word of God, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our text verse is verse 13, says, but we would not boast of the things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. And as I was reading my Bible, I came across that verse, and it said a measure to reach unto you. And I thought, man, that's the theme that I desired. It's on my heart for the new year for our church and for my personal life is reaching out. And Paul is speaking in reference to the fact that the believers in Corinth were blessed because of the fact that the grace of God, the measure of faith and the measure of grace and the measure of gifts that God had given Paul had been extended and reached even to where they were in Corinth. And his goal, literally, in writing the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians was to help them mature in their walk with God and to motivate them to serve the Lord. And all the times we forget that. When a person trusts Christ as our Savior, God by His grace delivers us, but he extends to us a call to be able to serve him and live for him all the days of our life. And even as we had the little baby dedication this morning, Even beginning at a young age, we teach our children who Jesus is. We teach them the Word of God. We read the Scriptures to them. We pray over them. And we ask that God would use them to be a means of reaching out into the next generation that they might know who Christ is. Paul would outline the gifts of the Holy Spirit for the believers at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and verse 14. And so he would tell them that, wait a minute, there is a measure, if you will, of the gifts or the talents that God has entrusted to you. May I say that God has a measure of gifts and talents and that he has given you that he has not given to me. And God desires for each of us to live out by his grace those gifts that God has given us. God does not expect us to measure up to some other man's expectation. God simply desires of us to live out the measure of faith or the measure of gifts that he has extended to us. And that's what Paul is trying to get across. The Apostle Paul's solution was just simply to keep within his own province and the compass, the grounds around him, those that were near to him, extending this grace that he experienced also. His commission as an apostle was simply to preach the gospel everywhere, but especially to the Gentiles. Now, this church has been here for 37 years. This church was started in 1980 by Pastor Rick Denhoff, and I thank God for his life and his vision to come and start this church. After he left the church, Pastor Thompson was the pastor for many years. And then when he left, I came here in 1995, and I'm thankful to be here for 22 years. So 37 years, God has had his hand of blessing on this church. This church is a unique church. It really is. And I'm not saying that because I'm the pastor. I am saying it because I have the privilege to be the pastor. But God has done some great, marvelous, miraculous things through this church ministry. And oftentimes people aren't aware of it and they don't know that. But really, over the years, there has been multitudes of people saved through this church. I mean, multitudes. If we had everybody here that's been saved over 37 years, they never moved away, they never went into ministry, but everybody stayed here, we'd have to have a building six times the size of this. There's a multitudes of people that have been saved throughout the 37 years. However, we don't boast in our abilities. I strive, if people have asked me over the years, what would you attribute to growth in the Ocean County Baptist Church? What would you say is the key factor for the things that you've experienced at Ocean County Baptist Church? And I have strived to say one thing, it's the grace of God. Amen. It is not my talents and abilities, because I know my limitations. And it's certainly not your talents and abilities, but it's all of us living according to the measure of faith, the measure of gifts that God has given us, and living out that measure of gifts for the glory of God, and all of us connected together create a wonderful church that is able to reach out to other people. And that's what we wanted to be a challenge with this morning, is this matter of reaching out. And that's our theme for this whole new year. We'd love for you to be a part of that reaching out. First of all, I see three things in this. First of all, I see humility that is exercised. In our text verse, simply Paul says in verse 13, but we will not boast of things without our measure. I mean, you talk about humility exercised. If anybody had the pedigree, the education, the background, the influence, whatever you can think of as far as identifying a means of justification for boasting, the Apostle Paul had it. But Paul said, I'll be careful, I will not boast of anything beyond our measure. What did that do? It developed a local witness because he wasn't willing to boast of himself, but he was able to preach the gospel. In verse 14, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. And the local witness, when we are humbled by the fact that God would extend grace to us and save us, it automatically instills in us a desire to tell others about who Jesus Christ is. You know, when I got saved back in 1979, God delivered me. I'm telling you one thing right now. The first thing that came on my mind is, why wouldn't somebody tell me how to be saved? I went to church all my childhood life. I knew what the Bible taught. I knew the different Bible stories. I knew all those. But nobody in 27 years of living on this earth ever told me how to be saved. And Paul says, wait a minute, I'm not trying to boast. I wouldn't boast of the things that are beyond my abilities or beyond the talents that God has given me. But wait a minute, I need to be a witness to you. I've extended that witness to you. I preach the gospel of Christ to you. A local witness always is developed as a humble experience of what God has done on our behalf. Why? Because first of all, that saves the individual. In Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And there is no one that can boast about, I'm going to heaven because I've been a good person. Or I'm going to heaven because I'm a church member. No, we're going to heaven because God sent his son into this world to die on the cross, that if we would believe in him, that we could be delivered and be saved from the bondage of all of our sins. And it's a humble position. Because there's nothing I can boast about other than Jesus Christ. Because you can't save yourself, and I couldn't save myself. So salvation of the individual. But there's also the changes in the heart. Paul said the preaching of the gospel brought changes in the hearts of the individual. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, Paul says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, that's a strong statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he says this, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. I mean, he's being very clear and very specific that, wait a minute, these things in a person's life hinders them from being a part of the kingdom of God. But then he says this in verse 11, and such were some of you. See, he's reminding the Corinthians, you have no position or right to boast about anything, because let's remember what you were without Jesus Christ. He says, and such were some of you. Then he says in verse 11, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. And so what is he telling him? Hey, wait a minute. When you get saved, there's a change that comes in your heart. I don't know why people think that you can get saved in 2017 and nobody's going to change. I've had people, I try to lead them to the Lord, and they say, well, do I have to change anything? I told them, you don't have to change anything to get saved, but I'll guarantee if you get saved, there'll be some changes in your life. I don't know why it is we think I can get saved and keep living an unholy life. No, when God saves us, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I'm going to tell you, when God set me free, he set me free indeed. And he's given me abundant life because he changed who I am. So the grace of God, how can you boast about anything other than Jesus Christ? And so the humility exercise is that it saves the individual, it changes the heart, but it also secures for eternity. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, John writes, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now listen, when you get saved, you're secure for eternity. I was talking to someone the other day, it was about a week or so ago. Of course, when you get old, everything's the other day, but it was a couple of weeks ago. And I was talking to them, and they said, the response was this, you Baptists. I always like it when people start out like that, you Baptists. What does that mean? You know? Is it you? This is what he said to me. You Baptists, you think this once saved, always saved stuff. And I said, well, I don't know what kind of God you serve, but my Bible, whenever it talks about eternal life, it says eternal life. It doesn't say temporary life. Jesus said, all that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You tell me where the Bible says you're saved temporarily. He said, well, you Baptist. There he goes, call me you Baptist again. I should have found out what his religion is and said, well, you whatever it is, amen. He said, you Baptist, you just say that because you want to say that you're secure for eternity. You don't lose your salvation so you can live as you please. You can be involved in all kinds of sin. I said, whoa, you put the brakes on right there. Because now we crossed the line. And I said, wait a minute. If you're saved, there is the conviction of the Holy Spirit that you don't want to sin. And bless God, if you do sin, then the Bible tells us, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And so if you say you're saved and you're living a sinful, reproachful, unholy, unrighteous life, and there's no chastening hand of God on you, you better look in the mirror real strong and hard because you're not saved. God chastises his own children. And we need to acknowledge the fact that when God says he gives us everlasting life, that's what it is. It's everlasting life. And I'm going to tell you, when I got saved in 1979 and in 2017, I'm still saved. Amen. I haven't always been perfect. I haven't always done everything right. But I'm going to tell you, there's a God in heaven who provided a mercy tree that I can go to the cross and confess my sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I'm just telling you this, there's no boasting within Christ that we are humbled by the experience that we have in trusting the Lord, reaching out with a spirit of humility, because all that God has given us, someone else needs to hear what about the love of God and the grace of Christ. Dr. Paul Chappell said this, God desires for you to be involved in drawing people to his word through a dedicated life to him and an active witness for him. See, God has so called us, not just to salvation, but he has called us to live a life that's dedicated to him, reaching out to others that they might see what God has done in us and through us. People ought to be able to see that you are different than everybody else. People ought to be able to see you living your life for God. When things are going apart, you have faith. When things you could be sour and bitter about, you still have joy. That people need to see that, so they come to you and say, well, wait a minute, what is it that you have? What makes you different? Well, it's not me, it's not about me, but Jesus Christ, this is what he did for me, amen? And so there's humility that's exercised. Number two in our text verse is gifts communicated. In verse 13, not only did he say, but we will not boast of things outside of our measure, but notice he says, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us. And so gifts that God has distributed to him, what does that do? It gives you personal hope. There's always hope with God. You know, I'm 65 years old, and I do not know a time in my life where I've seen people so despondent. I've seen a lot of trials. I've seen a lot of things go on. Seen a lot of world tragedies and all this. But I have never in 65 years seen people in such a spirit of despair. Listen, people need to have hope. And people, there's always hope in God. And so they needed their faith increased. They wanted, he said this, that their faith would be increased, an increased faith. And when your faith is increased, it gives you joy, it gives you hope. And listen, the more struggles you have, the more you trust God, the more you see God coming through, the greater the hope you have. Listen, things that I face today do not scare me like they used to when I first got saved. Because I've seen God do some miraculous things. God's put gas in my car. I've had people say, you're crazy. Well, you should have gone to the gas station with me. Because two times God filled up my gas tank. Amen. God put food on my doorstep. God fed me. I mean, God has clothed me. God has provided for me. When I've had nothing, God has given me everything I need to live in life. I'm just saying this. Paul wanted to communicate the gifts that God had given him so that he could increase their faith. And when we share what God has done in our life, it gives the ability for others to have their faith increased. Are you being a challenge to others? Are you being an example to others? Are you helping others to have their faith strengthened because what they see in your life, the gifts of God being communicated in a clear way? Notice not only did he desire for increased faith, but encouraged fellowship. In verse 15, he says, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Notice he wanted to be enlarged or encouraged or edified by them. How? By their fellowship together. Christians, let me challenge you with this. The greatest association and fellowship you can have is with other believers. Why? Because iron sharpeneth iron. And we can encourage one another and strengthen one another. And I had to go out to California this week to interview days out at West Coast Baptist College. And I'm always looking and interviewing for staff here at the church and at the school. And I was out there. And I'll tell you, the biggest blessing of being out there was just being around some other preachers. Preachers that are going through the same things I'm going through. Preachers that are being blessed. Preachers that are struggling. And we can all kind of just share our burdens one with another. And we have a good time of fellowship together. We had a dinner luncheon for us on a Thursday afternoon. And I'll tell you, just to be able to sit down and just say, hey, what is God doing in your life? Just to be able to sit down and say, you know what? This is what I'm struggling with. What can I believe God for in my life? I'm just saying this. Paul wanted to communicate the spiritual gifts that God had given him, the measure of his faith to others that he might be encouraged also or enlarged or built up in his faith because of fellowship. But not only that, but there is ministered faithfully. He says, according to our rule abundantly. Paul was willing to be a faithful servant of God, and he ministered to the people of God. You know, I think sometimes people struggle with this matter of being happy and satisfied in life because they're always waiting for somebody to do something for them. Why don't you just reach out and do something for somebody else? Reach out. You know, I found this, that whenever I'm discouraged, and I get discouraged a lot, whenever I'm discouraged, I found this, the greatest joy that comes to my heart is go out and find somebody to lead to the Lord. There's nothing that will give you joy like leading someone to Christ, seeing somebody bow their head and ask the Lord to forgive them and become a Christian, or just going out and being a help to somebody else. Do something for someone else. I find most of the time when I get into a pits of despair is because I'm having my pity party. And it's a selfish pity party because I don't want to invite anybody to it. Because if I invite somebody to it, then they're liable to get me happy. And I don't want to be happy. I want to be able to whine and cry and complain about everything. So I have my own little private pity party. And I found this. The only way that I can get out of that private pity party is to go out and reach out to somebody else and be a help to them. I think if we did more in reaching out to others, I think it would change our temperament. And so Paul said this, I wanted to be enlarged by your fellowship with me, but I want you to know that I was faithfully ministering to you also the gifts that God has given me. Paul Chappell said this, often our influence in our communities extend to church programs, musical, and weekly services. I read this quote, and as I was putting this message together this week, I was doing some research and looking for quotes to go along with my message. And I read that, and I got convicted over that. I really did. Because of this, our church, our ministry, our effectiveness of ministry in impacting the world in which we live, in a majority sense, is done how? Through programs, musicals, and weekly service. We have a WANA program on Wednesday night. We have Patch Club for the kids on Sunday night. We have church services Sundays and Wednesdays. And we have, you know, our Christmas cantatas coming up in December. We have a Christmas program for our school. And I read that and I said, that's where we are. That's where we live. That's not sufficient, though. Programs, musicals, and weekly services are not sufficient for reaching out into our community. Notice what he says. He goes on, while those things can help present the gospel, and I agree with him on that, God desires for us to personally be influences on the world around us. Spreading the gospel isn't solely the church's job, the quote-unquote church's job. It's the job of every Christian, reaching out, reaching out. How many conversations did you have this week? And based on the conversations you had, how many people did you talk to about Jesus Christ? You think about in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 8, there was persecution on the church. And when there was great persecution, the church was scattered. And it says that the believers went everywhere, and everywhere they went, they preached Jesus Christ. Everywhere. And so we have to stop thinking this matter of reaching out is, okay, we have church. Okay, we're going to have a cantata. Okay, we're going to have a school play. No. Everywhere, every day, every one of us are to reach out to others to help them know who Jesus Christ is and how to experience the love of God. So there's humility exercise, reaching out. There's gifts communicated, reaching out. Then in verse 13, there's multitudes reached. How? By reaching out. In verse 13, it says, distributed to us a measure to reach even unto you. What does that mean? That means there's regional preaching. In verse 16, he says to preach the gospel in regions beyond you. We can't have tunnel vision. We can't be hemmed in the box. We got to get out of the box. We need to take the blinders off. Why? He says to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. Paul says, wait a minute. We are not to boast in what other people are doing. We're to go beyond the regions where we are and preach the gospel to every creature. So it's an extended opportunity. What opportunity is God going to give you in extending God's grace to others? And we need to be a witness, and we need to be a testimony of who God is and what he has done in your life. It may be that God wants you to go to your neighborhood. It may be that God may want you to go to the neighboring neighborhood. It may be that God wants you to go and to the neighboring state. I don't know. God may want you to go overseas. I don't know where God wants you to go. But I know this, that we have a heart of grabbing onto this theme of reaching out. That means we're going to extend ourselves to all the opportunities that God gives us. Not only that, but a committed message. He says not to boast in another man's line of things. We don't have to be what everybody else is. You know, we have this mindset in Christianity. Oh, well, we're a fundamental independent Baptist church. That's who we are. So this is how we're to function and we're to operate. Who said? Bible doesn't say that. Bible says a lot about not compromising in our doctrine, and not compromising in our practice, not compromising in how our lifestyle is. But wait a minute, the Bible doesn't say because I'm an independent fundamental Baptist church that I have to do everything exactly like every other fundamental independent Baptist church does it. We believe in the autonomy of the church. Well, wait a minute, where's the autonomy of the church if we're not willing to reach out according to the measure of gifts and talents that God has given us and reach others for Christ? And so it's a matter of committed message. We're not going to change the message. We're committed to get the message out. The message is no good if you don't tell anybody about it. So multitudes reached, regional preaching. Where does God want you to preach? And then the thing is, what his multitudes reached was exalted to the Lord. In verse 17, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You know, I thought about this when I was preaching in the early service. People don't care about Ocean County Baptist Church. They don't. You say, I'm from Ocean County Baptist Church, so whippy dippy. You know. But wait a minute. You start talking about Jesus, now you got their attention. Now, if they want to go to church, the best church they're going to go to is here. Amen. I mean, we don't have bones about that. But when I go out soul winning, I'm not out there to present to them my church. I'm out there to present to them Jesus Christ. Why? He that glorieth, he let him glory in the Lord. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all into my men unto myself. I've not brought anybody to Christ by exalting the church or exalting me or exalting the deacons. But when I exalt Jesus Christ, people start getting saved. Amen. This matter of reaching out is us just simply going out and telling everybody everywhere who Jesus is. And it will change their life. George Whitfield said this, God forbid that I should travel with anybody a quarter of an hour without speaking of Christ to them. Why is it that we can sit down and talk to anybody about any subject, but we clam up when the subject comes to Jesus? Why is it okay to sit in the doctor's office, trembling, going, I gotta go in and meet the doctor, and talk to everybody in the waiting room about your kids, about your grandkids, about a sports team, about whatever, but to sit there and talk about Jesus? Oh, they're weird. They've got a Bible over there. Oh, these people. Watch out for that person. People think you're weird. Well, we are weird. Amen? Amen. We're not like the world. Matter of fact, the Bible says we're peculiar people. And some of us fit into that description better than others, but that's all right. Amen? We're to be a peculiar people. Why? We love the Lord. He loves us. He loved us so much He died for us. And not only that, but those people that are wretched and wicked and vile and unholy, yes, He died for them too. And somebody needs to tell them there's a God who cares for them and loves them. And how do we do that? By reaching out. I'm glad that when Peter got out of the boat to come over to Jesus, when Jesus was walking on the river, the Sea of Galilee, when he was walking on the Sea of Galilee, he started to go under. I'm glad when Peter said, save me, help me. He's reaching out to Jesus, and Jesus said, well, I ain't got time to fool with this. I'm glad when Peter was reaching out, Jesus went letting it over and grabbed me and pulled him up. And that's what he's in the business doing. He's in the business of reaching down to man and pulling him out of the miry pit. You know who he wants to use? Me. And he wants to use you to reach out into our community and tell people about a love that they cannot comprehend because of a God that they haven't accepted. But if you can present to them that God, they can experience love that is abounding and love that is unbroken and a love that is life-changing. How? Reaching out. That's it. Just reach out to somebody and share with them the good news. Let's bow for prayer. My Father, I come to you. I thank you. You're very gracious to us. Paul said he had nothing to boast about, and we don't have anything to boast about. But we are happy in Jesus. We'll boast about Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be the conduit through which the message of God can flow to others. We want to reach out to others. And Lord, if you'll help us, we'll give you praise. We'll give you glory. I pray, Lord, there might be somebody here this morning who's not saved. I pray as we sing this invitation song that they might come and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. There may be believers here this morning that really need to trust you more and need to walk with their God, and they need to reach out and tell others about Christ. I pray you'd speak to their hearts, and I pray they would come and kneel and pray, Lord, and surrender themselves anew and afresh to you. Thank you, O God, for saving us. Thank you for the ones that are being baptized in just a moment, Lord. And Lord, their testimony is that they believed on Christ. You reached down and touched their heart, and they were changed. I pray that we might celebrate and rejoice with them as they take this public witness and testimony of God's grace. Lord, we love you, and we ask for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.